Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Spiritual wellness and physical health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ribble. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. This is Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health, and I am Robin A. McKean, and I am your host this evening. Normally, I do my show here with my good friend, Lisa. But as some of you know who have been listening, Lisa is still recovering from her knee surgery, and I talk to her regularly. She's doing well, and she's fine and happy and working hard to get back up to snuff. So no worries. She will be back with us at some point when she's feeling up to it. She tells me she's feeling a little too cranky still on a day-to-day basis to be on the radio, but she's happy that for everyone to keep sending their prayers and good energies and good vibes, and she can feel it and that she's doing well. So my good friend Niv has agreed this evening, as she has been here with me for several weeks, to be filling in for Lisa. Niv, are you with me?
I'm hoping I am.
How are you? I can hear you. Hi. I really appreciate you being here this evening with me. I know as well it was sort of a last-minute thing. Today has just been crazy, and that was kind of what gave me the idea for the show, is that, coming into the holidays, there's so much to do, and some of it is trivial, and some of it is important, and some of it is just
emotional.
Yeah, well, yeah, some of it
is emotional. I mean, it just is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, one of the things I had said to Terry earlier today was, the story of a Christmas Carol is probably one of the first acknowledgments in literature of something we today call the holiday blues. People who just feel like, oh, the holidays, yuck, hate them. There's nothing about them. Yeah. The coming of the angel of Christmas past and Christmas present and Christmas future to sort of remind you of what the holiday is supposed to actually mean to us as individuals. So with that said, and keeping those things in mind, I thought we would go forward this evening and talk about how do we prepare ourselves for the onslaught of this time of year. We always do a show around Thanksgiving, that sort of the show where you've got all your family and they're all trying to be in the kitchen and tell you what's going on and how you should be cooking that stuffing or how you should be, you know, cleaning your house or how you should be doing whatever. But the Christmas and Yule and New Year holidays have some unique properties as well. Do you guys, Niv, as a family, have any particular traditions that you did when you were younger that you have stopped doing because they were unpleasant?
At home, you mean when I was growing up, when I at
yes.
home?
Yes.
Well, at home, so to speak, was a Christian-based family, and they came from two complete end spectrums, which was always difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I remember most often what my mother always, and my grandmother, because I lived both of them.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother was more involved with doing the way things that were done when she was a child.
Mm-hmm.
They would take the oranges and put the cloves in it, and that was a have to have on the
mm-hmm.
table. And of course, you know, peeling all the dang pecans, you know, everything had to be prepared for the big day,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. So you're doing all this preparation time, and you really don't see it. As a kid, I didn't, but now I do. But that's what we would do. We'd do the pecans. We'd do the walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pecans you literally picked off the back out of the backyard all
mm-hmm.
year long. And then right after Thanksgiving, you sat there and you peeled all of them. My God, what a mess. Your fingers would be black. And
mm-hmm.
But that was part of it, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because then Granny would give you a castor oil and rub on your fingers, and it felt really good, and it took the black off.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a special time with her. My grandmother was very young when I was born. She wasn't even 40.
Mm.
So she still had a lot of freshness going on in her mind of what things were. She had a really huge family.
Mm.
And there was a lot of the oranges. There was, she grew pears, and my great-grandmother grew a special kind of pear that you could only use during the holidays. And she was from Louisiana, so everything like pears and apricots and things like that were all put into the liqueur to start soaking. But
right.
As a kid, you don't realize that's what you're doing, you're preparing anything, but
mm-hmm.
you also get to spend time with the older generation.
Right.
When I eventually moved in with my mother, she didn't do as much prep because Mom was OCD about everything. Everything had to be done 3 days before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it absolutely drove me insane. You were up for 72 hours, and you really didn't get to enjoy the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But younger age, it was all about prepping, and it was about sitting down with the great-grandmother and hearing the stories, you know, because she lived on the bayou out in Louisiana, and had they drag up this crocodile or whatever they, you know, whatever they dug out of the water, and it would be cooked outside while my great-grandmother and the rest of us young girls would sit at the table and bead, B-E-A-D, stockings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have one of those left. I think my daughter has one.
Mm-hmm.
But you cut out little felt shapes, and
mm-hmm.
then you bead it every single one of them. And my grandson sitting here says, yes, he has one too. But
mm-hmm.
I don't have one, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
Mine got lost somewhere. I don't know. But at least she has them. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's something that she can relate to.
Right.
We did. It was just a lot of prepping. Everything was always about prepping. And I almost felt like that prep time, we didn't have time to stress over it.
Right.
Because you had already done it. You started the Monday after Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Doing the pecans, sitting down with your great grandmother on, the weekends and doing the sequins and stuffing the cloves and you did a lot of stuff. Granted, there was four or five of us, but that's mainly what we did was that sort of thing. If we were to do that with ours, like Perry's age or my granddaughter's age, I don't think that they would be so involved in it because it hadn't been done before, so this would be new. I grew up with that.
Yeah.
Shredding meat to make mince meat pies. To this day, I won't ever eat it. But I remember sitting there with the grater and grating it.
Well, but I have to say that I love mincemeat, and I've made mincemeat pie, but to the best of my knowledge, here in the Northeast, there's no actual meat in mincemeat pie.
Oh, there is at my great-grandmother's. Yes,
It's basically fruit. It's dried. It's raisins and currants, and there's no meat.
Yeah, I'll have to dig out that recipe. I have to get it getting that big old... I have a big green cookbook that, was passed down. It does call for meat. And it's ham. But it's so greasy when you're sitting there grating it, But yeah, why not wouldn't it be ham? Because you're mixing in, like you said, the currants and the cranberries and whatever else you're soaking in with all that stuff. And ham just absorbs it.
Interesting.
But yeah, she truly did it that way. This is a grandmother that was born, or great-grandmother, 1889, because my grandfather was 1899, so my great-grandmother was 1899. Two different sides, that's the only way I could figure them out. But she did a lot of root. She's the one that introduced me to root magic as well. But she also did a lot of sweet potatoes, and they were done 90,000 different ways, and they all had pecans on them. But like I said, a lot of our stuff back when I was up until, I lived with Granny until I was seven, so it was all prep time. And you, like I said, you start it right after Thanksgiving. Everything. No throwing tea glasses around out there.
Yeah, the cat just jumped up and knocked it off the table next to the phone. Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's mainly what we did. And then we would get to go to my great-grandmother's house at a really... it's really funny. We would think it was cold, but down south there's never anything really cold. We've had a few snows, but far and few between. But it would be cold for us because it would be before the sun came up. And we would go pick up my great-grandmother, and she had twin children. And they both lived on riverboats. And we would go down to Aunt Murray and Uncle Bob's house or houseboat. And there were certain pines that we were supposed to cut and just different greenery, so to speak, not necessarily mistletoe. It was connected to it, but we didn't have it, so we used what we had in our local region.
Right.
And then we would be taught how to string it with red ribbon. And then that ribbon would be, the garlands would be draped over the doors. And I remember asking why 100 jillion times, and finally when I got to an age, because when people walked in, their negativity be removed by walking through. Okay. But, when you're doing it 4 and 5 years old, you don't understand. 7, 8, you're getting there. Why are we doing this? Those kinds of things, and it was slow introduction as well to what she was doing.
Right.
It wasn't unusual. We never put Christmas lights up. at my grandmother's or my great-grandmother's. It was a lot of ribbon tying on the pear tree, and certain pears would have cloves, and like I said, some of them would got soaked in brandy and were cooked in the oven. It just seems like there was a lot of prep. And I hate saying that, but that's exactly what it was, because you had this batch here that had to soak for so long, and then this mm-hmm. batch here, they were so sweet you could not resist. You'd got to pick it up and just squish in your hand. You had to eat it, you know, because then it'd be wasteful if you didn't. The oranges, those oranges, I think they probably came from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother probably followed in through that tradition. But I'm not really sure what kind of cloves these were, because I have never seen a clove like it. They were a silver color instead of the true brown that you and I know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, we'd make those big-ass pomeranders. And they would be huge, like grapefruit size. They were gigantic. And each one of those had to be wrapped in a different ribbon, one for each child, and then the parents had the two red ones. The children could have any other color they wanted, but the parents had to have red. Why, I don't know, but that's just the way it was done. Didn't ever question it, okay, mm-hmm. this is what we get to do. But I do think I have brought some of that down, maybe last year or a year before, not so much this year. All my stuff is still sitting on the back patio, and I just keep looking at it going, yeah, there it is. I'm just not ready for it this year. I'm not motivated for it this year. I don't think it's the weather. I think a lot of it is a lot of things that have been going on, you know, like
yeah.
my car had issues and financial issues and I have a child living with me, or a grandchild is living with me, and actually his child and girlfriend were here today all day, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of that intenseness, and a friend of mine came to mind this morning when I woke up, and it's very rare that I ever think about this person, and so this afternoon it just kept pushing me and pushing me and put, okay, so I sent him a message, what's going on with you, are you okay? But you feel these other, I mean, it's not just me, I feel other people as well. It's not a blues, but it's very melancholy feeling.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that this the holiday season, it comes along with, you know, always with a little bit of poignancy, because there are always people in our family who we either can't be with because of a separation of distance, or they're no longer with us in this plane, so it would be impossible to have them with us. You know, it's always a little bit, like I said, poignant to know, this year we're going to do the holidays.
Sure.
Yeah, this year I'm doing the holidays without so-and-so and so-and-so. And, you know, and it could be 20 years gone as well. I mean, it could be somebody
but
from 20 years ago,
fresh.
But you still miss them. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And you're reminded. And so one of the things I try to do is people that I miss, I try to honor that person by maybe, you know, baking a cookie recipe that they taught me to make. And so then, you know, for me, by doing that, then I'm connecting with that person and I can have a conversation with that person over, you know, this is how you taught me to do this, and watch me, am I doing it right? And it sounds strange.
Actually, I do understand it, because, like, Mom made this, and I didn't eat it as a kid, but as an adult I have. It's a pistachio salad.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds horrible. It truly does, but it isn't. It's any kind of fruit salad that you want, completely drained,
mm-hmm.
and cool it, and whatever, and she used pistachio pudding. And she
mm-hmm.
would mix that together and make you sit there and stare at it for 3 days in the refrigerator, because you weren't allowed to touch it. And then when she would take it out, she would cover it up. Everything we did was with pecans.
Mm-hmm.
So you encrusted the whole top of that with pecans
mm-hmm.
before it was served. And I made it a couple of years ago. And I kept saying, Mom, yeah, I'm doing this right. Am I doing it? And of course, everybody's looking at me like, who the hell is she talking to? Mm-hmm. I'm just chopping away. Are you sure this is what I asked you? But it felt like she was right there.
Exactly.
And we were having a conversation, mm-hmm. not just about putting the fruit together, mm-hmm. but it was more like reruns going on in my head.
Yep.
You know?
And, it's a way of visiting with that person and things that they taught you over and over mm-hmm. again years and years later.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was so just so mm-hmm. to the point of bizarreness. I actually had to step out of the kitchen, and I went and called my sister. I went, mm-hmm. okay, I think Mom's been here. And she would, chuckle at me, and she goes, I thought that too when I was cooking this, mm-hmm. And then my brother would mm-hmm. call, and Mom was here, and I'm like, okay, Mom's busy today because Mom's mm-hmm. all over the place because
yeah.
we're scattered all over the country.
Yeah, but and that's part of the traditions and why it's so important to cook with your children, to engage the older people in cooking with you so that you can learn from them, so that when they are gone, you can say, this is Grandma so-and-so's or this is Aunt so-and-so's recipe and hand that down. I just started something for Persephone. I just bought her a plain old journal and, unlined, and I have some of my friends giving me recipes for her to put in the book. People are handwriting recipes in. I've put in some of my recipes. I will continue to put recipes in, and they're just going to be in the book as people write them. So from that standpoint, there's not going to be any organization of it. But, it's the kind of
later, thing where, maybe later separate them out. This is for
years from now, she'll have everybody's handwriting, which would be nice. And have the recipe in that person's handwriting. And she'll mm-hmm. get to know, it's on this page opposite this other recipe. Or you get to know the lay of the book. It's not that many pages. It's just it's like a 200-page journal.
Okay.
But I thought that would be a nice thing to do, would be to start her out with that. And then that way she can have that, forever in perpetuity with recipes for stuff I know she likes and things that other people wanted to share with her.
Let me go rooting around in my one good recipe that Mom would make, or my great grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Because my great grandmother, oh man, that's who I really miss. I miss Mom. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But my great grandmother was so powerful in my life. Like
mm-hmm.
I said, my grandmother was 37. Yes, my grandmother was 37 when I was born.
Mm.
It's like me, I was 36 when my oldest grandson was born, so we're almost repeating each other.
Mm-hmm.
My great-grandmother, which is my mother's father's mother, like I said, she came over from Louisiana, and she had such a peppered life herself. And she was sent up to some school here up this East Coast way, which I find it sort of funny because I'm up here, in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
She went to finishing school, and I do have a few pieces of her doilies and some of her lace,
mm-hmm.
And those are sealed up, and those will go to my daughter. And my great-grandson and granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
Everybody will get a piece of history. And Granny Gray, or Gray is what we called her, how to put this woman? she would bring up, they lived in the city, but she did not drink city water. She had a hand pump outside. This
mm-hmm.
is the city of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But she refused to use the toilet because, evil demons can come up
mm-hmm.
through your rear. And, she just believed that. She Charlie was her second husband, and we just loved Charlie. Charlie ignored her most of the time and ignored us, but he would sit around with his pipe, and he would tell us stories about the elves that lived in the shed, and we weren't allowed in there certain times of the year, and he says, you know, when you hear that woodpecker going, you know, he's building something, probably a birdhouse somewhere, and really enchanted us as kids.
Mm-hmm.
And might as well say we lived there because my mother was much too young to raise a child at that time, or mm-hmm. anybody really. But and so my grandmother worked, so she would drop me off at my Gray's house. And, you know, I can remember Gray had one front door and two back doors. One was a receiving door, and one was the door that you went out.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's all you ever did. You always went out the outdoor. You never came into the outdoor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, but that was just the way she was. And they would, I don't ever remember her ever leaving the home, ever, ever. Even when her children died, her siblings passed away, she never left the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like a depression-like thing. My mother had always told me she just never leaves. So if you mm-hmm. needed something, you had to go to her.
Mm-hmm.
My granny would go over, and this was her mother-in-law, and my grandmother would tote water for days just so Gray didn't have to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Gray did laundry outside and washed her hair outside, but did dishes in the house. I don't know. Just bizarreness, you know, old ways or something that I was supposed to figure out and just never did. But they would bring in, neighbors would bring her groceries, and the most thing that I absolutely remembered, and I never have had it since, is pomegranate salad.
Hmm.
There would be heaps of it, just heaps and heaps of, and all these big clear bowls, and it was served with mint ice cream, and it was the best stuff I ever had in my life, and never have had it since. I have searched high and low for the recipe, but it's just something that, you know, after you've been told of all these little sugar plums been planted in your head.
Mm-hmm.
There they are on the table. And I agree, it is important that our children know, like, for instance, your grandmother. I'm
mm-hmm.
sure you could probably dig up something that she made, and maybe even an index card, you know, make a mm-hmm. copy of it and slip it in there. Or even your mom, or, you know, or even any of our Pagan family. There's quite a few fantastic cooks in our Pagan family.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is important that we do pass down those traditions, for the simple fact is, if we don't, they'll be lost forever.
Well, absolutely.
And they don't necessarily have to have the interactions,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to have it because we're going to tell them that. You know,
absolutely.
We're going to tell them, you know, this pomegranate salad with mint ice cream. That sounds just horrible to anyone else that's ever had it, but it was the bomb. It was good, and it was pretty, you know?
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Because you had this scoop of green ice cream and this salad. She called it pomegranate salad. Whatever it was, I don't know, but there was just heaps of it.
Mm.
And then you would sit and you would listen to them talk about when they were younger. You know, I can remember a lot of stuff that they sit and talk about. And there again, they would do the silver spoons and discuss different family members. They would uncover the mirror. Because most of her mirrors were covered all year long except for during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was a little strange, because at Granny's house, she had that great big old huge mirror, you know, the big gold gilded thing that weighed 90,000
oh, yeah.
pounds. She had one of those. My mother had one of those. All the women in our family that I'm aware of had that. But I know what it means now.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they really registered or that was just somebody pushing it like Gray saying, here, you got married, here, here's your mirror.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure they really understand what that meant, but I know that she kept hers covered all the way up until the holidays.
Yeah.
The day after Thanksgiving, that dusty old thing came down. And it was bizarre. My grandmother always made sure that the mirror was perfectly angled to face the yard. You know, would put a little piece of cork under one side, so instead of it facing directly at the table, she would tilt it just enough where it would be facing the yard. And that I know why is because there was particular flowers that her mother, she had gotten cuttings off from their home. And she would reflect those flowers into the mirror. It was absolutely stunning. But, like, who would know to do that?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So little things like that, I remember all that.
Do I
have the space for all that? No.
I know, right? To have one of those grand old houses with space for all those things.
Oh my God, Jeff.
I'm being given the high sign that it's time for us to take a break.
Okay.
And I'm not exactly sure of the name of the song. I believe it's something by Emerald Rose.
All right.
But I'm not sure, and I'm not sitting at the computer. I'm not on the chat room.
Okay. Well, take it away, Mr. Engineer.
Yeah, there you go.
If you are a merry witch, she'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too. 'Cause Christmas time is really Yule, and Santa's taken too. He's got that Buddha belly and his top's the Holly King. You dressed him in that British coat, the cap's a Nordic thing. You took the horns right off his head and stuck them on his deer. But he still flies high like Jupiter with a belly full of beer. Hey, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and make those cookies too. 'Cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too. Now history says Christ was likely not a Capricorn. But if you want to share our Yule, we don't care when he's born. Come celebrate the dawning of the Sun King's bright rebirth. And if you practice what you preach, we'll all have peace on earth. Hey, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and make those cookies too. 'Cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too. Now Santa's way more jolly than most Christians would require. And if you weren't so busy, he'd be dancing around this fire. Yeah, you can call it Christmas, you got a way outgunned. But just you wait till Beltane, then we'll see who's having fun. Hey! Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too. 'Cause Christmas time is really Yule, and Santa's pagan too. Hey! Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and make those cookies too. 'Cause Christmas time is really Yule, and Santa's pagan too.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And hello, we are back from the break, and we are here this evening talking about traditions that we have maintained from our family, and things how important it is to, you know, bring forward cooking traditions and spending time with the people that are no longer able to be with us because we're cooking some of those foods that they have taught us. And how important that is to create continued traditions in families and have the feeling that you're with that person even though they may not be able to be with you for one reason or another, whether it's distance or that they're no longer on this mortal coil. And we're here tonight speaking with Nivasi. She has graciously once again agreed to join me and help me fill in for Lisa.
Lisa's getting some spa day somewhere because I probably need to go with her.
she's actually, I think she and Ron took a short mini vacation, I think, for the first time in many, 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 many years, and are just taking a break before the holiday craziness. So good for them. They certainly deserve it.
Yeah, good
with
for them.
She's been through. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
So,
let me ask
anyway.
You this.
Sure.
Did your grandmother do anything like lavender floral washing or... Because I know you guys had, you know, like this really huge house out in New York, but
we had
wood floors,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we were... you know, grandmother's floor was impeccable. You could have, you know... had a reflection better than a mirror. I don't know. My grandmother and my great grandmother would do floor washings of lavender all from the kitchen all the way through the living room and, of course, through the bedroom because it's where the bathroom went to. But I just remember a lot of that was done. And I keep lavender if I could, you know. In fact, I've got some leaves, branches that a friend of mine just gave me last week that I'm trying to do a little tea with them, so to speak, so I can do my floors.
And we were, this time of year, you swept you swept your floors. We didn't wash, maybe it's the difference between
the climate,
north and
maybe.
The south. Yeah, but it was a big deal to sweep everything out over the threshold, and that way, you know, you rid the house of... Because really, in a lot of ways, this is the new year celebration at Yule, and the new sun, as it were. And so you are sweeping out all the old dirt so that... In the new year, there's not, you know, when as the year turns new, there's nothing accumulated in the house that holds over. So,
right.
It was another time of year where you would, you know, clean out the house, as it were. We talk about spring cleaning. Well, this was sort of the winter cleaning. And
right.
You had to
because the house was getting bombarded with everybody from all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it's a preparation as well for the long winter in the north, where we don't go too many places or do too much. So you want to get the house nice and clean so you don't have to worry about it too much over the coming couple of months. Otherwise, it would get too dusty.
Pretty grungy.
Too dusty. Yeah.
Pretty grungy, yes.
Mm-hmm. But for me, the traditions of family and at this time of year really centered around food and around decorations. Every year I can remember as a kid making those decorations with my mom where you would poke holes in two ends of the egg and you would blow the egg out very gently. And then you would put, Elmer's glue on the outside of the egg and swirlies and then roll it in glitter and then gingerly, hang them on the tree and hope to heaven that they didn't break, Or something that we did this year, Terry and Persephone and I, we made salt dough ornaments, which was actually a lot of fun, and they look gorgeous on our tree. I was just thinking, we should probably take a picture of the tree and put it on the radio station Facebook page.
I just was looking at one of those recipes where they were showcasing the whole tree was covered in them, but there were paw prints, puppy paw prints and kitty paw prints, and it was just absolutely so cute. And I'm like, what a cool idea.
Yep. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you can make them into anything. We took the easy route, and I had some cookie cutters. I have stars and hearts and candy canes, and, everybody's probably got a couple of, Christmas.
Oh, I've got a whole bucket
of them. Yeah. And we had gingerbread men, and so we just basically did that, and we colored the salt dough with food coloring.
Yeah.
And we kind of took some and put it in a Ziploc baggie, and we mooshed it around with the food coloring. It took some doing, and yes, it stuck to the inside of the bag a little bit, but we managed. And Terry, kneaded it and rolled it out and made the color very uniform, and they came out really, really nice. I was really happy with that. Yeah, exactly. And then we polyurethane them.
That's why he threw me off the phone really quick. I got to go.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's what he was doing the other day. And he polyurethaned each of the ornaments front and back, so they should last a few years, hopefully.
Yep, they'll last a good while, as long as you with their polyurethane, even mice aren't going to want them.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So absolutely very cool. And what a cool new tradition to start.
Exactly. Something that we could do together and create memories, which is bringing me right back to that's what the holiday is about, creating memories. It's about doing things together as a family and creating positive memories. Obviously everybody has stories about negative memories from holidays as well, but families get together inevitably. Inevitably, every once in a while, there's going to be stuff that's going to happen. So sometimes
I think that's also part of the memory, too.
Absolutely.
My grandfather on my mom's stepdad, they were all musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not unusual, especially Christmas Day and New Year's Day, for Uncle Bobby and my grandfather and two other cousins would show up on the back porch, electric guitars, steel guitars, whatever instrument was handy, even if it was a pot lid, and entertain the neighborhood. I call him my grandfather because that's what he was to me, because I didn't know the other one. But his mother ran a boarding house, Mother Brown's boarding house. And so all of her residents would come over, and we would, because we're down south, we would have these two huge long tables out on the back porch and in the yard, and it always had to be a V around this particular flower that my grandmother showcased in the mirror. And men sat on one side and women sat on the other side, and the children sat on the inside of the V.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, we couldn't run. You wanted something, you had to ask for it. But there was a reason for everything, you know. But mm-hmm. at the time, you just didn't think about it. We didn't have the kids' table because we sat right there with everyone.
Yeah.
The only time
we never did the kids' table
thing either
in my house.
Table, mm-hmm. Is usually New Year's, and that was because there was just so many stinking people that my grandmother actually feared for us to get hurt because there were so many people there.
Mm.
You know, we had kids from 0 to 17 all at once in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Extended cousins, second and third cousins, but everybody was having babies all the time. Now, so it was a really huge family. My grandmother was one of 14. So all of her brothers and sisters would bring their families because my grandmother had the biggest house.
Right.
And the biggest yard. So you kind of ate near your kids, and so you made sure everybody had, you know, you only
mm-hmm.
took care of yourself when you just had to. But
right.
We did a lot of outside eating because the family was so big.
Right.
It was not like I said, the children's table just really didn't take effect until like the church people came at New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just because she just wanted to. I don't know. She's one of those ladies that had the white living room set that we were never allowed to go into. She was one of those kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a specific table. When the church people come, because the church people could sit on the white furniture, but we couldn't.
Right. So what kind of traditions do you do with your family these days?
Well, I don't have a whole lot of them. None of them live at home anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My son is down in Pittsburgh with his significant other, and ours here... Brian and I still do the stockings,
mm-hmm.
Whether they are here or not. My daughter gets one. All my grandsons get one. Everybody gets a stocking. That's the absolute must.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a different color. We usually hang them on the aquarium, which is really funny. We don't have a fire mantle, so we had to come
uh-huh.
up with something here. So mm-hmm. we hang them on the aquarium, my big 50-gallon one. And since the grandkids have came along, theirs is hooked underneath their parents' stocking. They're attached
mm-hmm.
by hooks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because we tell them that's the way Santa comes in, and, oh, this is Damien's, and, oh, this is Damien's little girl. So we have to keep everything very streamlined. It works. You know, it just works. So she has to go and figure out which one is hers without looking. That was what we were doing when my kids got a little older. They had slight variations between their stockings, and they had to figure out which one was theirs just by the shape and what was they thought was in it. We also do the silver dollar at the bottom of their stocking. Brian said when he was growing up, they used to do the silver dimes, and he still has quite a few of his. But we put the silver dollar at the bottom of their stocking, not a sealed one, but
mm-hmm.
that way you always have a dollar on you.
Right.
You know, my grandmother always put pecans and walnuts. Let me just interrupt you for a second.
Just let people know, because they're probably thinking, why is she keep talking about pecans? You grew up in Texas.
I grew up in Texas, in the Louisiana area, yes.
Right, and that is one of the big crops in Texas is pecans. They grow everywhere, so, yeah.
Yes, and now when I came up here, I found out that pecans were, like, super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
But walnuts weren't as expensive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I don't like to, a lot of times what it is, I have my sister ship me up a box of them from the
mm-hmm.
Red River Orchard that's literally on the Red River.
Mm-hmm.
So I have something from home, and then I have my pecans.
Right.
But then we always put the nuts in there because, you know, you have to always have something to snack on if you don't like anything. You have your nuts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we usually have the big breakfast, and I avoid the television as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I have even told fibs and said, you know, Santa Claus came through here and cut that cable cord. It's not on today. That doesn't go well after 3 o'clock, but it's okay for a few hours.
Right.
And we always include our critters. Our critters get gifts as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that even as far as I can remember, even back in times when I was just a child in the South. We would wrap big ham bones for the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it would absolutely drive them insane. They could smell it and didn't know where it was because we would always have to put them in the shed where the elves were.
Mm-hmm.
But, we did. I mean, we did a lot of stuff back then that I do pick and choose that's more appropriate for us here. But because we don't have kids anymore, it is a little different. They do, my son comes up and my granddaughter comes up, but my daughter, being that she lives down in Florida, I don't get to see her during the holidays. Her and her significant other and youngest son head to Atlanta with his parents. And boy, let me tell you, mm-hmm. after seeing some of their big old table spread come Thanksgiving, I might just head to Florida, Atlanta, Georgia myself. They had some really interesting root foods that I was just really enthralled with. I said, I need to know what they're doing with all this because this is like big, huge trough-like things on either side of the table, and that's how they served it. They were roasted vegetables, but they had some sort of sauce on it, and it just looked beautiful on the table. I said, you're eating that or looking at it? She goes, we eat it. And I went, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everybody does it different. I think the South, we pertain more to our roots, so to speak. I know up here you have your traditions and your roots, but we
mm-hmm.
literally go all the way down to the root vegetables.
Yeah.
But I think that has to do with your region. I mean, my grandmother did some. My mother was not a baker.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn what I could off Granny and Gray. Granny cheated a lot and would use box cakes, but Gray did not.
Mm-hmm.
Gray would do things from scratch and make, like, cinnamon cakes, and I've never seen one ever since. They're look like little loaves of bread.
Mm-hmm.
They're wee, tiny, little, very short, like shortbread size.
Mm-hmm.
But they would be like little loaves of bread, and she would cover them in honey, and that's what she would give the kids. And Granny would, like I said, would cheat with the box cake, but then she would put, remember when they were pouring the fruit in it back in the 60s and 70s? She just must have nailed it because everybody just loved her cakes, and I just thought it was gross. my mother would attempt to bake, but because her mother really wasn't a baker, her mother worked, so she really didn't get to learn to bake from her. But I mean, I've got some tea cookie recipes that I had gotten from an aunt,
mm-hmm.
and mother and I would sit and make them. One batch would be like 300 cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would make little bags and put ribbons on them for,
mm-hmm.
you know, people that weren't necessarily family, but we would give
right.
them out.
Right.
We give, even here, you know, I just now thought about, I make hot sauce. You've seen my hot sauce, my
mm-hmm.
hot pepper stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have had the same male lady for over 30 years, and I imagine she's about ready to retire. And I've had the same UPS guy and FedEx guy. Every single one of those, quote-unquote, service personnel, they get a jar of hot peppers. And they will bring back the jar. They want more, please.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that, but I don't think we ever did that at home.
Yeah.
But because people, you know, these people come to your house every day. You know them.
Mm-hmm.
They know your name. They know your business. Why wouldn't you turn around and, you know, reciprocate?
Right.
You know, so that's what I do here locally. And then, of course, I make a bit of tea cookies, and I take them down to the shelter, at the women's shelter. In fact, today I took down 22 boxes of them. I'm done baking. I'm not baking anymore. I think that's probably why I'm tired.
Could be.
I don't want to do them anymore.
Mm-hmm. We started a few things. I made one batch of shortbread, and we made one batch of chocolate peppermint bark, but that's about it yet. I think this coming weekend will be the big baking weekend where I'll make a lot more stuff. But shortbread is probably the traditional thing in my household. It's simple. Mm-hmm. It is delicious and makes wonderful gifts. And Isabel McKean, who was brought up in Edinburgh, taught me how to make it. And it's the simplest recipe. Five cups of all-purpose flour, 1 cup of sugar, and 1 pound of butter. You cream the butter and sugar together.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, and you add 1 cup at a time of the flour into your mix master or food processor. Do not
use a hand.
Yeah, don't try to do it in a hand mixer. Your hand mixer will burn up. And then if you can't get past that third cup of flour with a hand mixer, then you can knead it by hand, but it won't come out as smooth and as, like, light. And then you just press it down into a cookie sheet as evenly as possible, all the way across, almost like if you were putting a crust, you know, in the cookie sheet, and then poke it with a fork like you would a pie crust so that it doesn't rise, and you bake it at, like, 375 degrees until it just starts to get the whisper of goldenness on top. Usually anywhere from depending on your oven and you know, the day, from 45.
Humidity. You have to count. Figure that in too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour, maybe a little better. And when you bring it out of the oven, you let it cool just a little bit, and then you cut it up the way you would brownies. You know, you just stick the knife in and cut it while it's warm. And
that will be the only time you'll have to cut it, because you won't be able to cut it when it cools completely.
That's it. And I make all kinds of variations with that. I mean, you can make that same recipe and cut them into, you know, cookies with cookie cutters. You can use the recipe, cut it in half, and line 2 cookie trays, and then put other stuff on top, like caramel and chocolate, or
that'd be a good idea.
You can pour chocolate and the crushed up candy canes and make shortbread bottomed. You can do shortbread, and then you can pour brownie mix on top, and then bake the brownie mix on top of the shortbread.
Oh wow!
There's all kinds of stuff that you can do.
We'll be using some of those zucchinis. This year I'll be, instead of the banana bread, because banana is not good for me. So I use the banana bread recipe, but I use the zucchini instead. And I'm pretty much the only one that eats it. If they don't know what it is, they still say it's banana bread. Yep, it's banana bread. And they eat the heck out of it.
But
I can't have it anymore. So we do the zucchini, and since I have that new variation of that zucchini that we grew this past summer, I'm going to see if it really does make a difference in flavor. I didn't think it did before, during the summer when I was using it stir fry. And I think I'll end up making about 4 loaves of that. Let's just break it up in a couple of days and then stick it in the freezer until it's ready to, you know, family shows up or whatever.
Yep, sounds good. I'm getting the high sign that it's just about time to wrap up the show for the evening. We've talked a lot about a lot of different traditions. Next week, we're also going to do a Yule show, but next week's going to be about primarily, I think we're going to do a show giving out recipes and crafts and things that just make the season more fun and things that families can do together. Lots of talk this week about how important it is to do things with family. And then next week we'll talk about some more of the things we can do. We talked a little bit about the salt ornaments, but I'd like to get together some recipes for people and perhaps give them on the air and post them on the web page. That way, in preparation for people to perhaps start a new tradition and be touched by a little bit by our show and make something that we've made. And we'd love to hear feedback about it always. And one of the things people often ask me when I do these types of shows is, well, that doesn't have anything to do with you know, health and wellness. I'm like, well, yeah, it really does. Anything that happens to create warm feelings amongst your family, creates traditions and rituals for you to keep to, all adds to your health and your wellness. And the amount of love in your life, which is really...
personal enlightenment.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Definitely
exactly.
Does. It does.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the more love you have in your life, the better off everybody is. I mean, it's just a fact. So, with that said, Nivasi, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Well, lately, since... I'm mainly on Facebook, but if they really wanted to get in touch with me, they could send any kind of emails, bitch moans and groans or whatever. Just send them to the radio station at surn.org@gmail.com and put Nivasi right there up in the topic. I'll get it.
Yep, yeah, in the subject line, just put for Nivasi.
Oh, absolutely.
Or for Niv, N-I-V, in case that's kind of what that's her nickname, call her Niv. And if they would like to get in touch, with me, you can tell it's late. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can always reach me at the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health page, of course, on Facebook. You can also reach me via email at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And if you're interested in having Terry and I or one of us, either one of us, come and speak at an event that you are holding or you would like some spiritual or personal counseling, if you need a holistic health coach, any of those things, please feel free to reach out to us at that at that email address. And again, that is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings on Facebook. Also my personal page, Robin A. McKean, on Facebook. And again, for Terry, if you want to reach him on Facebook, there is his Rev Terry Power HP public figure page. So with all of that said, I want to let everybody know that the holidays, although they can seem daunting and overwhelming and stressful and people get cranky at this time of year, keep in your heart the fact that this holiday, whether you believe in Santa Claus, whether you believe that this time of year is the birthday of a specific child that was born under the North Star, or whether you believe that... I don't know, you know.
Holly King. Yep. That's
exactly.
From that side of the family, the Holly King.
Yep. Whatever your particular beliefs are spiritually, the one thing that we all share in common, the one thing that binds us all together and is a universal thing of humanity, we all love our families. We all have friends that we care about. We love to cook for them at this time of year. We love to feed them. We love to entertain and be able to relax and sit and laugh and have a good time with them. One of the things I enjoyed so much about going to Dubai this past year, sitting in the airport, and I'm one of the few, you know, English-speaking people in the airport, but there are these two little kids, and one's like two and one's four, running around in the airport, and their mom and dad are speaking Arabic to them, but everybody is smiling looking at these kids. It didn't matter whether they were Irish or Arabic or American or, you know, Occidental. It didn't matter. Everybody understood the language of the love of a parent for their children. And I think that we need to keep that in mind as we go into the season and all the stuff that's going on in the world. And but just if you can take care of your own little space, your own family, and keep in mind that the holidays are about spreading love. It's what I say every week at the end of every show, spread the love. It's about spreading love to one another and creating those traditions that bind us to one another and keep our families alive in our mind's eye. I think that pretty much wraps it up for me. Niv, did you have anything that you wanted to say?
I just want everyone to celebrate and the light, because that's coming back, y'all. It's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the light not necessarily does not mean in any religious incantation at all. It just means just celebrating the light of the love. That's all you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's what all I wish everyone could do. And
Alrighty.
That's my closing statement.
All right. Well, thanks. And as always, I'd like to say, spread the love. We'll see you next Monday. Remember, next Monday, recipes. And if you want to call in with a recipe, we will put it on the air. I'll post it on the page. But it's got to be something you've tried and it's something that is a family recipe that you use on a regular basis. And we want to know who it is in your family that made this recipe and why you love it so and what your memories are that connect you to that person. That would be wonderful. So,
we hit the coven.
Yeah, there we go. All righty. We'll talk to you next Monday, and maybe I'll have a surprise guest next week. We'll see, but I don't want to make any promises.
Okay. Okay, we won't. Maybe Santa
Alrighty.
Will come.
All righty, and good night, all, and spread the love, and blessed be, and have a very merry week. Good night.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.